Welcome students for today's session on managerial economics. We will today be discussing chapter 12, which is equilibrium of the firm under different market categories. It is similar to your chapter number 11 and chapter number 10, where we were discussing about revenue structures, equilibrium conditions of different firms under market categories. Let us go in detail today with how individual firms determine their equilibrium level, how their price output behavior is strongly influenced by the market structure to which they belong. We will begin first with a very general understanding of what we mean by equilibrium of a firm, or when a firm is said to be in equilibrium. Let's look at the slide. A firm is under equilibrium at that point where it maximizes its profit. So, firm's equilibrium is correlated with its profit maximization level. That means when a company is able to maximize its profit, it is said to be in equilibrium condition. To understand profits, we will look at the two structures, that is the revenue and cost. Because as we had discussed, profit is nothing but total revenue minus total cost. So for that, we have to look at the revenue structure and compare it with the cost structure. First, look at the revenue graph faced by a perfect competitor. That means a firm working under perfect competition. Imagine you get into the business of making cards, greeting cards, and there is a group of you can say this whole class. So we have in this whole class, let's say 50 students. Now all these 50 students will be making cards. The condition, which is an assumption, the cards are of an identical size. Okay, so you all have been given a identical card size, and you are all supposed to just make a print. Now this print is already given to you. You just have to put that stamp, it's like a ready-made print, like how you have in the printing business. You just have to put that print on the card, and the print is identical given to all of you. So when you print that on this card, it will be an identical greeting card. So each student sitting in this class, if we have 50 students, all of you are making an identical card. We will collect this card here. Now all the cards which are made are identical. That will give you the perfect competition model. Now the question comes is, what should be the price of this card? Of course, cost plays a very important role, but also there are many factors which determine price. Like we have the market conditions. We should know who are our competitors. Now here the competitors are you all. You all 50 students are each other's competitor, and each student will be our individual firm. So each student is representing an individual firm. So when I pick up the card from the first firm, now let's take an assumption. Here we are assuming each student is making only one card. So one card is one product. One individual student represents individual firm. Now this one card is priced. What should be the price? We look at this graph. Look at this slide, students. Here the price is measured on the y-axis and output is measured on the x-axis. If I take this price for individual firm, this price is a horizontal line, and this horizontal line against it is written AR equal to MR. So price is equal to average revenue is equal to marginal revenue. Now what this means, each individual firm is a price taker. So you are a price taker. You will accept the price of the card as given to you based on market demand and market supply. So let's say that the price per card is 5 rupees. Now 5 rupees is the price. If you sell a zero, you don't sell a single card, then what will happen? You will not earn any revenue. But suppose if you sell one card, how much is the revenue you will earn? Yes, 5 rupees. So 5 rupees will be called as your average revenue. Suppose you sell one more card, similar, then another card will be called as what? It will be your marginal revenue, which will again be 5 rupees. So in perfect competition, you cannot increase the price, neither can you decrease the price. So you become a price taker. And therefore, when we talk about perfect competition, the average revenue and the marginal revenue will be same. You sell 10 cards or you sell one card. Your earning is 5 rupees per card. So 5 rupees becomes your average revenue and your marginal revenue. Therefore, students, please remember, in perfect competition, each individual firm is going to face a horizontal revenue graph. So revenue faced by each firm is horizontal, which means it is constant. Price is equal to AR is equal to MR. Now, this was the revenue side. Now we will take you to the cost structure. Most of you are using the raw material which is provided to you. I have purchased the raw material from one seller. So the cost structure facing each one of you will be assumed to be identical. And all of you are going to face a U-shape average cost, which means initially the costs are higher and as the output is increased, the cost will come down. Now why so? Let's say that we are paying a rent of this room where you are all sitting and making these cards. The rent will be fixed. If we are using it for one day, then for the whole day, the rent that we are supposed to pay for using the premises will be our fixed cost. The more cards you make, the fixed cost gets divided. So the average cost will be going down. Colors again represent the variable cost. So if we are using more colors, then definitely our cost will increase and that will be reflected by the marginal cost. As long as our average cost is falling, our marginal cost is below average cost. So when the average cost is falling, the marginal cost is lower than average cost. This is because when you initially start your business of making cards, you are making use of the fixed resources. So your average cost is comparatively falling because you are using the fixed resources. An additional cost is going to be lower because the same resources will be used over more number of cards. Now in our case, it will be the colors. It will be that print with which you are marking on the greeting card. But suppose if the color pens that are being used becomes less, we have to avail for more pens. That would be our additional cost. So when the average cost starts rising, marginal cost will be rising faster than the average cost. So there are two things to be remembered here as per the cost structure faced by an individual firm. One, when average cost is falling, marginal cost is falling faster. When average cost is rising, marginal cost will be rising even faster. So, what should I do? I should look at the least cost of production. That is where the average cost of production is equal to the additional cost of production, which means where the marginal cost intersects the average cost. This will be called as the point of least cost output. We come to the conclusion now. One is the cost structure and other is the revenue structure. I will be picking up the marginal revenue and the marginal cost, which we have already discussed in our previous session. The golden rule of equilibrium. That means an individual student will go on making greeting cards as long as the cost of making every additional card is less. But the moment the cost of making the last card becomes equal to the revenue earned from making the card. What was the revenue? 5 rupees. So when we make the card for 5 rupees and the revenue earned from selling that card is also 5 rupees, that time we come to this condition of marginal revenue equal to marginal cost. This is what the diagram depicts. You have a horizontal marginal revenue graph and we are imposing the marginal cost on it. There are two points of equilibrium. One is point B, other is point E. Point B is not taken as equilibrium because at point B you have not yet started making profits. B is a break even, the minimum number of cards. So you cannot only make one card. You have to at least make 5 cards to reach this break even. Because if you make only one card, your cost is more and the revenue is less. You are going to spend more, 10, 15, 20, and the revenue is only 5. Because definitely the material cost is higher than the price of the card. So you will never settle down at point B. That is when your marginal cost is intersecting the marginal revenue from above, which means that your costs are still high than the revenue. So it's better to make more number of greeting cards. So as you start making more and more cards, your cost is drastically coming down, which means every additional card that is being made is at a lower cost. So as we were discussing about the average revenue and marginal revenue and marginal cost, in this diagram, students, we are just trying to make you understand the condition of equilibrium. And as we can see in the diagram very clearly, that there are two points at which the marginal cost curve is intersecting the marginal revenue line. One is point B. You should never settle down at point B, because at B you have still not made a single profit. You have made the greeting card, there are some expenses incurred, you know the market price is 5 rupees. This is your break even. This tells you that how many cards minimum you have to make. So let's take OB, let's say 2 cards. You have to make compulsorily 2 cards to reach your break even. That means at least to cover up the cost which are incurred on making those cards, the fixed and the variable. But after point B, the more number of cards that you keep making, you will be bringing down your cost drastically. You can see that the cost graph, marginal cost graph, is taking a U shape, and this U shape is very deep, which means every additional card that you keep on making, your cost is continuously reducing till you reach the point E. Now look at what happens at point E. From point E, the cost graph is taking a upward trend. Matlab cost starts increasing. And when you look at the cost, when you look at the cost graph increasing, there is this point at which the cost and revenue again become equal. So we say that the marginal cost intersects the marginal revenue at point E. So this is called as the equilibrium point. And at this point, the number of cards made are OM. So OM is the total number of cards you are going to make. Shall we take it as around, if we take A as 1, then we'll count how much is still M. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So you have made 9 cards. Okay. So instead of 9, we'll make a very round figure, 10 cards. So when you are making 10 cards, you reach equilibrium. Because when you are making the 10th card, your cost of making the card and your revenue earned from selling that card becomes balanced, 5 rupees. So it's like a no profit, no loss. We are talking here about economic profit. We are here talking about your time and all the skill that you are going to use in making the card, decorating it, everything identical. So what is the condition of equilibrium? Marginal cost equal to marginal revenue. To understand this diagram of comparing the average cost, average revenue, marginal cost, marginal revenue, we will be understanding it through the board. So students, now we are going to understand how an individual firm reaches equilibrium under perfect competition. Okay. So now, First thing is that perfect competition, each individual firm is a prize taker. So students, you are all making greeting cards. Okay, now you are going to be a prize taker. Even if you are making a greeting card, you cannot decide the prize. You have to go to the market and find out the price of that card. So this is your market. X axis, Y axis, demand curve, supply curve, they intersect. Here we measure quantity demanded, quantity supplied. Here we measure price. Where there is an intersecting point, that point is called as market equilibrium. And this is your P, price. Now being a price taker, this is where we draw a graph for your company. So OX, OY. Okay. And here will be your output. Now what is your output? How many greeting cards you have to make? This is your output. This will be your revenue, cost, price, all. What you should do is extend this line. See, I'm extending it. Can you see it? I've extended this line and here it meets the y-axis of the second x and y-axis quadrant. I extend it because you have just learned the AR equal to MR equal to price is a horizontal line for each firm. So you are a price taker. Therefore, this will be the price. How much had we kept the price of a card? 5 rupees. So 5 rupees becomes your selling price of your greeting card. Now, we have to know what is your equilibrium. How many cards will you make as per this concept where the marginal cost is equal to the marginal revenue. Okay. So, marginal revenue is there. Now, I will have to draw on this the marginal cost. Now, what is the behavior of marginal cost? It is a U-shaped diagram. So, I just draw the marginal cost in such a way that it is intersecting this MR line. This will be the marginal cost. The point where it intersects, this is the point. From this point, I draw a vertical line saying, this is my equilibrium output. So, when I talk of this output, this is 10. So, you have to make 10 cards. Because when you are making 10 cards, your cost and revenue becomes equal. Okay? So, this is what you have to remember. That when we are looking at the marginal cost equal to marginal revenue, you reach the point of equilibrium. Matlab, you know that 10 cards. 10 cards when you make, you are able to get the, you are able to reach the equilibrium. Matlab, your cost of making the 10th card is equal to the revenue earned from selling that card. Is it clear? Now the question is it giving me profit? Is it giving me loss? To understand or to measure the profit and loss, we will have to use the concept of AR, average revenue with average cost. So, now what is the behavior of average cost? How is the average cost structure? So, the average cost structure is again a U-shape. Okay. So, we will draw the average cost. So, now we will be drawing on this graph, the average cost graph. Suppose I draw the average cost graph tangent. You can see very clearly that we are drawing this tangent on the average revenue. I write it AC. Now, what do you observe, students, here? You observe that the average cost and average revenue are both tangent. So, it is a situation where the average revenue earned. What is average revenue? Price. So, the price that you earn on selling the card, 5 rupees, is equal to the average cost. You are dividing the total cost with the total 10 cards. Is also 5. So, we declare it as a case of normal profit. So, what is normal profit? Now, here, the profit that we are talking of is economic profit. Very, very well, you have to remember that we are always including the implicit cost. That means your time that you are giving here in making the greeting cards, your skill, your energy, whatever. Suppose you would make this greeting card somewhere else. You would be paid there. Here you are doing it on your own self. So definitely there is some cost which you are paying. Okay. And that is also included. So even if your books of accounts show that you are making a profit of a huge amount, economics says that the profit that a company earns is only normal profit. The concepts used of normal, supernormal profit in economics are because of including the implicit cost. So this is a case of normal profit. This way you will find that in perfect competition, the profit can be measured using the concept of average revenue and average cost. Now, what happens if there is a change in market conditions? What happens, suppose, if the supply increases? If you see at the graph, I have drawn a new supply curve called as S1, S1. Can you see, students? This is E. So, my new point is E1. So, equilibrium has come down. So, the price falls. What happens when the price falls? When the price falls, the price line will shift down. Matlab, your whole AR, MR will also go down. And when this AR, MR goes down, what is happening to your equilibrium point? The equilibrium point is also changing. See here, from here you have come down. Now, because of fall in price, because of fall in revenue, and because of again adjusting the marginal cost with marginal revenue, your quantity comes down. As an individual firm, you will supply less because there are many other suppliers. So your role in the whole market will even get reduced, because perfect competition is where there are large number of sellers. And when you have large number of sellers, each seller's contribution is only a fraction. So the only drawback in perfect competition is, as the sellers keep on increasing, the role of individual firm gets marginalized. Small role, like a drop of water in the ocean. So your output now comes down to 5. Arey, but what has happened to your average cost? Average cost is above. So from normal profit, you are not able to cover up your average cost. So you enter a point called shutdown. You know what is shutdown? Shutdown point is where you are unavailable or you are not able to cover up your average cost of production. So please remember, students, in perfect competition, an individual seller reaching a shutdown point will totally depend on market conditions. Therefore, this is a very, very fluctuating market structure, where any change in market demand and supply will keep changing the price and the equilibrium position. So with that, we have understood that in perfect competition, individual firm can make super normal profits. When will they make super normal profits? Now I'll just write down those conditions quickly. The very first is, if your average revenue is greater than average cost. If AR is greater than AC, then we call it as super normal profit. Okay, you are able to cover up all your cost. It is very, very motivating and encouraging for a individual seller to expand their business. What if average revenue and average cost are equal? We call it as a situation of normal profit. It is not break even, because the word profit here includes economic profit. And in cost, we are including implicit cost. If your average revenue becomes less than average cost, which means you have entered the shutdown point. So these are the three most important things that you have to remember whenever you are looking at equilibrium and profit loss situation of individual firms in any market structure. Shutdown point is very, very common and popular in perfect competition because of free entry and free exit. So students, after we have understood the case of perfect competition, now we will move on to the other extreme form of market structure, monopoly. Just look at this slide. The monopoly profits also depend upon two factors, because whenever we have to calculate profit, we have to look at revenue and cost structure because of the formula TR minus TC. Now, the revenue structure of a monopolist is such that in case of monopoly, the AR and MR will be downward sloping this way. Look at this diagram carefully. The AR graph is flatter in slope. The marginal revenue is steep in slope. This diagram reflects the behavior of a monopolist in terms of setting the prices for its product. Even being a single seller, you do not have unlimited control over price. And as I have said before, monopolist is a price seeker, price searcher. He has to first see at a given highest price, how much can he capture the market. And later on, in order to capture the market further, he has to reduce the price. That's what is done. Most of these monopolists or monopolism is enjoyed by public sector units in India. No doubt we have private companies also coming into monopoly. So what happens is, if a pharmaceutical company, which is the only company making a life-saving drug, if it starts increasing the price to a very inhuman level or at a very, very unjustifiable level, it will definitely, come where government intervention will take place. So, a monopolist, in order to capture the market, has to always bring down the price. And therefore, the MR will always be lower than AR. To sell an additional product, the price has to be reduced. So, additional revenue earned from selling an additional output will be comparatively less. You might have seen in case of this one-day Vijay sales offer. There may be some number of electronic products, maybe cameras, laptops, iPads, which are being sold. Then there will be just a few of those leftover stock, unsold stock, maybe 3 or 4 or just 5. So that few will be sold at a discount offer. That is where this diagram will apply. Because on an average, per product has been priced higher, and in order to clear the stock, the company has brought down the price. So the revenue earned from that additional is lower than average revenue earned. The cost structure. So we have to keep one thing very clear. If you are a single seller and you are making a greeting card, which is a card which nobody else can copy, okay, then we will say that you become a monopoly. Now, what about the cost graph? The cost graph which a monopoly has, first of all, there is no element of uniqueness in the cost structure. The cost faced by a monopoly will be similar to the cost faced by other companies. Initially, the costs are high. As the output expands, the cost starts falling because of optimum utilization of plant capacity. And over a period of time, the cost again starts to rise. This is the same graph as you see here. The average cost is a U-shaped graph. The marginal cost is also a U-shaped graph. So both average and marginal cost are similar to the cost structure you just a moment back studied in perfect competition. Now, what we have to do is find out a monopolist equilibrium. Same thing. We will take the cost graphs, we will take the revenue graphs, and we will combine them together. This. Here, we will first take the golden rule of equilibrium, only taking the MR graph and the marginal cost graph. If you look at the first part of this, the left-hand side of equilibrium, you will find that there is a huge profit. That means the cost is still lowering down. And in case of monopolistic competition, there are every chance of bringing down the price and increasing the output till the monopolist reaches OM point. The concept is the same, students, that in order to increase the supply or in order to capture a large part of the market, the monopolist has to reduce the price. As the price is being reduced, the revenue starts getting less and the cost starts rising. So the equilibrium has to be seen where the rising cost and the falling revenue becomes equal. That is known as the equilibrium point. Look here, we have taken the graph further. Now we have compared the average cost with the average revenue. As you see, students, here the company will be operating at the falling average cost. The monopolist will never settle down at the least average cost, a little above that, because a monopolist always believes in capturing the market as fast as possible. So therefore, as long as the average cost of production is less than the average revenue, the monopolist earns super normal profit. You have to carefully look at the diagram and see the distance between Q and R. The point Q is lying on the average revenue graph. The point R is lying on the average cost. So your QR distance is the distance of super normal profit, because the cost is lower and the revenue is higher. Now we have to connect the monopoly and the elasticity of demand. What is a monopolist? Single seller. Elasticity of demand is customer sensitivity towards the market demand for the product. Now how sensitive the customers are will decide how much power a monopolist has over increasing the price of the product. So it has been noted that a monopolist will be in equilibrium if elasticity of demand is greater than 1 or equal to 1. It means when customers are price sensitive, because when it is equal to 1, it means if a monopolist decreases the price by 1%, he will capture the market by 1% more. If he brings down the price by 1%, he may increase the demand by greater than 1%, because the elasticity is greater than 1 or equal to 1. For that, you have to remember what you have discussed in 5 types of price elasticity of demand. But what if the elasticity is less than 1? If it is less than 1, it means customers are price insensitive. Or we say that if the monopolist increases the price to a very large extent, the people will refuse to buy the product. Or if the price is lower, still the monopolist cannot capture the market. So here, if he brings down the price and the product comes under the inelastic demand, then marginal revenue will become negative. No monopolist wants to sell a product free. Free means it is a loss. You have not earned a single revenue. So a monopolist has to be very clear about understanding on how the customers react towards the pricing strategies of a monopolist. So the knowledge of elasticity of demand in a monopolist pricing strategy plays a very important role. Now, we are going to have a recap of perfect competition as one extreme market form, with monopoly as another extreme market form, with the following points. We take the very first point in the slide, price. We say if a monopolist is a price maker, then a perfect competition is a price taker. So imagine you are a class of 50 students, and out of that, one student is excellently brilliant, coming up with new innovation in an engineering college. Student who comes up with the best innovative project becomes a monopolist. If you are just copying or you are making a similar product, then you are perfect competitors, and in perfect competition, you will not have enough of power to price your product, because many are making similar products. So you have to purely depend on the market demand and supply. Perfect competition will always be a price taker, whereas under monopoly, you will always be a price maker. Second point is output. When we talk of output, in perfect competition, the firm will produce the output where average cost is the lowest. They will always try to make the maximum utilization of their plant, optimum utilization of resource. That's because they don't want to keep the resources unutilized. But when you talk of monopolist, they will never stop where average cost is least. In fact, they will stop before they reach the lowest average cost. Is it clear? That's because the earnings from additional unit, that is MR, is less than the marginal cost and they will suffer a loss. So, a monopolist will operate before reaching the least average cost, looking at the market and then deciding how much to sell more, since a monopolist has control over output also. Look at this graph. You can see the average cost is the least, but here the average cost is falling. So, a perfect competitor will stop output where its average cost is the least, making the full utilization of the resources, whereas a monopolist will stop before reaching the least average cost. Profit. When you talk of profit, here the firm is under perfect competition, enjoying only normal profits. We had just seen this in the diagram, that the reason because of this is there is free entry and exit. So, the moment any one perfect competitor makes profit, it will motivate others to enter, bringing down the price, and therefore the super normal profits of the existing players will be divided among all players. But in a monopoly, the seller can continue enjoying super normal profits. The next is revenue. How is the revenue structure? For perfect competition, it's a horizontal line, and for monopoly, it is downward sloping. Since we believe that if a monopolist has to sell more, he has to bring down the price. Okay, we go further. The cost. So, students, when you are looking at cost, here you will find that a firm under perfect competition cannot be in equilibrium under falling cost. So, now next point of comparison is cost. You will find that when we talk about cost, a firm under perfect competition cannot be equilibrium under falling cost. It will always be in equilibrium at the lowest cost. You remember I told you the average cost has to be the lowest, since a perfect competitor wants to make the fullest use of its resources, because it's very unpredictable on what the market would be in the future. But in case of monopoly, the firm will be in equilibrium under falling, rising or constant cost. Monopolist has full control over its resources because it's the only seller. It's the only firm which is selling the product. So, the conditions that apply to a monopolist are more flexible than what applies to a perfect competitor. Now, with this, we enter to a very peculiar feature of a monopoly firm, that is discriminating power. In order to maximize its profit, a monopolist sometimes adopt price discrimination. Let us understand what is price discrimination. It is an act of selling the same article produced under a single control at different prices to different buyers. So, discriminating monopolist means selling the same article to different buyers at different prices. Now, just think, students, have you ever seen in the market a similar product being sold at different prices to different buyers? Just think. Yeah, people traveling in a local train, the first class and the second class. The transport, mode of transport is same. Still, there are some people who pay a higher price, some who pay a lower price. Airplane, economy class and business class. Children's paying a lower price of the ticket than adults. Yes, you find same product but at a different price. That is discrimination of price. But let us understand on how many grounds can we have price discrimination. There are three types of price discrimination that you have to remember. The very first is personal, second is regional, and the third is trade. You have to very clearly remember what is personal price discrimination. It is when different prices are charged to different buyers. And here the criteria is ability to pay. As I said, children versus adults. senior citizens, teenagers. They all come in this category of personal price discrimination. It is very usefully adopted in case of professionals like chartered accountants. They can ask for a different fees from different clients, even doctors charging different fees based on ability to pay. Hospitalization services. We prefer to go to a private hospital because of our ability and fast treatment compared to government hospitals. So there are many reasons where personal price discrimination is found to be actually practically taking place. Second is regional. When you talk of regional, here the criteria is markets. We look at the elasticities of different markets, rural versus urban, higher income class, lower income class. That is again ability. But when we talk about markets, we look at how people are sensitive towards a given service. So tomorrow, if Tata and Reliance wants to distribute their power to the rural and urban areas, the price sensitivity of the customer, a urban population and a rural population, has to be given huge importance. Maybe the rates will be little lower in the rural area as compared to the city area. This will come under regional price discrimination. A bank may install ATM machines in a rural area and in a city life. In a city life, they may come with a rule of per transaction charging some amount, some transaction fees. Whereas in rural area, they will keep it free so that they can promote the idea of using the ATM machines for the rural population. So regional price discrimination can be done when a product has to be promoted or its use have to be increased. The third is trade. When you talk of trade price discrimination, this is purely based on the purpose for which the product is used. If, for example, we take LPG, when LPG is given for domestic use and for industrial, you find that the rates differ. That's because of its use. Even taxes differ for corporate and for individual income. So these are all examples of price discrimination. Personal, based on ability to pay, a child paying a lower price of the ticket than an adult, always concessions given for children going in schools, students going for college, they get railway concession, ticket concessions. But that's not possible for people who are working. So that's personal price discrimination. When you talk of regional may you look at the markets, rural and urban, and the differences in the price over certain services and products. And when we come to trade, we have products which are for agricultural and non-agricultural uses. Now we move ahead to understanding when can price discrimination be possible. How is it possible to adopt this price discrimination? There are certain conditions for that. The very first condition is that there has to be an imperfect competition. We cannot think of people selling a similar product, perfect competition model, adopting price discrimination. Because there is no ground on which the price can be discriminated. The products are all identical. The fruit sellers who are selling apples, similar kind of apples, cannot change the price. But yes, if one of them is selling imported apples with superior quality, can adopt price discrimination. So here, imperfect competition is the first condition for price discrimination.